Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to episode number 40 of the Scottish History Podcast. Happy New Year and all that to everybody. Happy 2021. First off, of course, I just have to say I'm sorry that there's not been an episode for a little while. I was just taking a little break at the beginning of the year. I think I mentioned it in the last episode, but I didn't plan on taking quite such a long break, but I have got another podcast which I've just started as well with a bunch of friends of mine, so I've just been taking up time with that. I've also got a brand new computer set up as well. Everything is really starting to come together for this year, so I'm sorry if you've missed me, but I'm back now. So this week we are going to be focusing on haggis, with Rabbi Burns Day coming up in just a couple of days. I thought that would be a good place to start. So join me as you learn a little bit more about the haggis. So the Haggis Scoticus in Latin is about the size of a large house cat or a small dog, and it lives predominantly in the mountains of the Highlands of Scotland. It is very distinctive in that the legs on one side are shorter than the legs on the other side. This allows the creature to easily navigate the rocky terrain and through the heather. Other than that, it has a mane of hair, much like a lion, and a very pointy, snouty face. They are also notoriously difficult to catch due to their running round in circles, again due to their legs. There are two different types of haggis, where one breed has longer right legs and the other has longer left legs. The two species, unfortunately, are unable to interbreed, as the male will lose its balance when it tries to mount the female of the other species. Now, I am, of course, talking complete and utter nonsense here. However, in 2003, a survey commissioned by Halls of Broxburn, a sort of commercial butcher shop, found that one third of visitors to Scotland from the United States of America believed the story I've just told you. Now, in terms of the history of haggis, it is believed to not actually be Scottish in origin, but perhaps invented in either ancient Greece or in Rome. However, the first written recipe of haggis dates from 1430, and the recipe was written in Lancashire in northern eastern England. Other reports state that haggis may have made its way over to Scotland from Scandinavia. So what is haggis really? So haggis is a savoury dish containing sheep's pluck. The pluck includes the heart, the liver, and the lungs of the sheep. The pluck is then mixed with minced onion, oatmeal, suet, and spices, of which include black pepper and mace. Salt and stock are also added to the mixture to form what we now know as haggis. These ingredients are all minced together and traditionally stuffed inside the sheep's stomach. therefore utilising everything of the sheep that we had left to hand. The traditional method would be to boil the haggis. Nowadays, the haggis is more likely to be found in a sausage casing rather than in a stomach. Now, how to cook haggis is a lot of people to this day, they do still indeed boil it the way in which it was done before. However, nowadays, with modern cooking technologies, etc., is depending on the type of haggis in which you can buy just little rounds of haggis, much like a black pudding. And these can just simply be fried in a frying pan. You also can, like what I do, and I find this the easiest way, is to get one of these glass, not Tupperware, but Pyrex dishes. You empty the haggis, so open up the casing, empty the haggis into the casing, put the glass lid on, put it into the microwave, and just keep beeping it until it's ready, really. You obviously need to turn it and mix it up and everything like that, but that's how most people nowadays tend to cook their haggis. Now, the prepared haggis is then eaten with mashed potatoes, or tatties as we call them, and mashed turnip or swede. These are what we call neeps. So haggis, neeps, and tatties. Now, I would say that the proper way to serve, and I'm using inverted commas here, but to me the proper way to serve haggis is with all three elements served separately on the plate. So you have a dollop of haggis, a dollop of mashed potato, and a dollop of turnip. And then what you do is with your fork, you take a forkful of, or a small forkful of haggis, and then take some potato, and then take some turnip, and then mix them together that way. What a lot of other people will do is they'll sort of turn it and fold it all over into itself and do it that way, which is perfectly fine. However, the internet would lead us to believe, and I've seen a lot of images of this very, very recently, especially with the lead up to the Burns Supper this coming week, is that it's served in a stack. So this is where you get some kind of, round kind of cake tin sort of thing, and you put that on the plate, and then you put a bit of haggis in, and then you flatten it out, and then you put some of the neeps in, and then flatten that out, and then put some of the potatoes in and flatten that out, and when you lift it up you've got a three-tiered stack. Not a single person, as far as I'm concerned, who's ever served me haggis, or even myself, has ever done it in this way. It is not the way which we would traditionally eat it, because number one, that takes up way too much effort, and number two, you're going to eat it anyway, so what does it matter which way that it is presented? So we do not have it as a stack. You can do it if you want to, but it's not the way in which it's traditionally eaten. It's eaten just on the plate with three dollops, basically, each. Now, you won't only find haggis served in this particular way, however. You will nowadays find alternative ways to eat haggis. The most popular other versions include haggis nachos, haggis pakora, haggis scotch eggs, so that's using haggis instead of the sausage meat round the hard-boiled egg, haggis lasagna. One of my friends actually makes a haggis lasagna. I've never actually had it, though, but he makes a haggis lasagna, and instead of lasagna sheets, uses potato scones, which is another kind of Scottish sort of Irish thing. You get Irish potato cakes that are slightly more buttery. They kind of seem to have this kind of almost sweet taste to them. But our potato scones that I'm used to are just sort of flat, no real kind of sweet, buttery, salty kind of buttery taste to them. But regardless, so he uses them and it looks awesome, but I've just never been able to actually have it yet. So other than that, we also would have haggis on burgers. It goes very, very well, surprisingly, with jalapenos and things like that. Even just the sort of the cheap jarred thingy ones seems to be very popular. So apart from that, we even have it in paninis or toasties as well. It goes very well with brie, I must admit. But there's even haggis flavored crisps or chips for those across the Atlantic. And now I have even had haggis poutine for those from Canada. So that was awesome. That was really, really nice. So I think it was fries, or as we would call them again, we would call those chips. With haggis kind of crumbled over the top, and it was and with the cheese curds, but it was with the sort of black pepper creamy whiskey sauce. It was absolutely gorgeous. If for any reason that you happen to be in Glasgow at any point, I got that in Bar Block, which is awesome on Bath Street. It's one of my favorite places to go whenever I'm through in Glasgow for anything to eat, but they also do live music, obviously out with COVID times. But another popular way of having haggis, and this is the way in which I will be having it this coming Monday, of course, the 25th of January. Now, the reason why, I'll just say why I'm having it this particular way, is my fiancée, Jen, does not like haggis neeps and tatties. She does like haggis, but she likes sort of smaller proportions of haggis. So we will be having something called chicken balmoral, which is chicken... a chicken breast, which is then stuffed with haggis and served with a whiskey sauce. So that's the way in which I'm going to be having it, probably with some roast potatoes and other vegetables. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's kind of been our Burns Night tradition as such. So yeah, I've kind of been mentioning sauce. Now, a lot of what I say obviously can be just interpreted as my opinion. There's never a right way or a wrong way as such. But this sauce, the whiskey sauce that I've been mentioning is, I mean, don't get me wrong, it is absolutely fantastic. But I never grew up eating haggis with any kind of sauce. Maybe when I was younger, I'd probably put some ketchup on it or something, on a breakfast roll with square Lorn beef sausage. It goes fantastic with brown sauce. So I have had it with sauce, and the whiskey sauce again is excellent. But when I have haggis neeps and tatties, I like it, as I saw someone describe it, dry. As such, I think that, you know, if you're potatoes are creamy enough, and your turnip, you know, turnip seems to hold quite a lot of water in it anyway, so, you know, so there's quite a lot sort of going on there. Haggis can be a little bit dry depending on how you've cooked it, but I never grew up eating haggis with a whiskey sauce or anything like that. So I'm just going to say that I think that the whiskey sauce addition is fairly recent. Certainly within the last maybe 20 years. I think for some people it was kind of invented to make it slightly more palatable. But what I will say is any excuse to consume whiskey, even in a sauce, is a good excuse to me. Now, haggis is not a seasonal dish. I think some people kind of see it as being a seasonal dish. It is available all year round, and you can have it at any time. But it is most commonly eaten on the 25th of January, and this is during a Burns supper. This is to celebrate the birth and, of course, then the life of Rabbi Burns, Scotland's national bard. You can listen back to my episode, which I did just purely about Rabbi Burns, which was episode number 26 of the Scottish History Podcast. In that episode, I began the episode by reading the Burns address to the haggis. Now, this is an address which is read before the haggis. So basically, once the haggis has been brought out from the kitchen, it's been placed on the table, it's ready to be consumed, but it needs to be cut and made up into the portions. So before the sort of the head of the party, or the person kind of leading the Burns supper, they will usually stand up and perform the address to the haggis. So again, that address is right at the beginning of episode number 26. However, to finish this particular episode, I'm going to first of all read the translation of the address to the haggis. Now, the translation, and then subsequently after that, you're going to hear the true reading. So I'm also going to put the real reading of the address to the haggis after it. And I got this from the website robertburns.org.uk. So that's robertburns.org.uk. So just to give a little... Where my source is, basically, for that. So I'm going to read the translation to the address to the haggis, just in case there'll be some people. There are some words in there, being Rabbi Burns, he did a lot in Scots and things like that. So because of that reason, a few people might want to know what these, what each line means. So I will read the address to the haggis translation. And then you will hear the full address to the haggis as well. So that's all I've really got for you on this particular week. Again, I'm very, very glad to be back, and I've had so many supportive messages over the course since the last episode. Again, for those of you that were worried that I'd disappeared, I do apologise, but I'm back now. We'll be back to having an episode a week from now. So, so of course, just the usual before we finish up here. If you're new to the podcast, obviously the best thing to do is always head back to the beginning, head back to episode one, and work your way forward. But also, you can find us on the Facebook page, so facebook.com/ScottHistoryPod. On Twitter is @ScottHistoryPod, along the same as Instagram, so that's @ScottHistoryPod. You can just normally get me through the website as well, so that's www.ScottHistoryPod.com. And of course, as well, if for any reason you wish to support the podcast in any way, you can do so via Patreon. So that's Patreon, patreon.com/ScottHistoryPod. And that's for between £1 and £3 per month. You can choose to support the podcast, which helps with the running costs and other such things like that. So again, thank you very much to all of those people who support me through the Patreon. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. And I appreciate everyone, of course, everyone who listens. It's been what a year it's been. You know, we've basically recently as well, you know, celebrated in a way the 1 year anniversary of the podcast. That was just back in December, pardon me. So yeah, what a year it's been. Thank you very much to everybody for bearing with me. So without further ado, here is the address to the haggis translation, and then after that, the address to the haggis. Have a wonderful, wonderful Burns night, everybody, and I'll speak to you again next week. Good luck to you and your honest plump face, great chieftain of the sausage race. Above them all you take your place, stomach, tripe or intestines. Well are you worthy of a grace as long as my arm. The groaning trencher there you fill, your buttocks are like a distant hill, your pin would help to mend a mill in time of need, while through your pores the dews distill like amber bead. His knife see rustic labour wipe, and cut you up with a ready slight, trenching your gushing entrails bright like any ditch, and then, oh what a glorious sight, warm, steaming, rich. Then spoon for spoon the stretch and strive, devil take the hindmost, on they drive, till all their well-swollen bellies by and by are bent like drums. Then old head of the table, like most to burst, the grace hums. Is there that over his French ragout or olio that would sicken a sou, or fricassee would make her vomit with perfect disgust? Looks down with sneering, scornful view on such a dinner. Poor devil, see him over his trash, as feeble as a withered rush, his thin legs a good whiplash, his fist a nut, through bloody flood or field to dash, oh how unfit. But mark the rustic haggis fed, the trembling earth resounds his tread, clap in his ample fist a blade, he'll make it whistle, and legs and arms and heads will cut off like the heads of thistles. Your powers who make mankind your care and dish them out their bill of fare, old Scotland wants no watery stuff that splashes in small wooden dishes, but if you wish her grateful player, give her Scotland a haggis. Fair fa', your honest sonsy face, great chieftain o' the puddin' race, aboon the man ye take your place, pinch tripe or thairm, we'll are you worthy o' a grace as lang's my arm. The groaning trencher there you fill, your hardies like a distant hill, your peenwad help to mend a mill in time o' need, while thro' your pores the dews distill like amber bead. His knife see rustic labour dicht, and cut ye up wi' a ready slicht, trenching your gushing entrails bricht like tawny ditch. And then, oh, what a glorious sight, warm, reeking, rich. Then horn for horn they stretch and strive, they'll take them hindmost on they drive, till a' their wheel swallowed kites belive are bent like drums, then auld gidman maist like to rive, ben thank it hums. Is there that hour his French ragout or oleo that wad staw a sou, or fricassee wad mak her spew with perfect sconner? Looks down with sneering scornful view on sick a dinner. Poor devil, see him hour as trash, as feckless as a withered rash, his spindle shank a gid whiplash, his knee a knit, throw bloody fowl or field to dash, oh how unfit. But mark the rustic haggis fed, the trembling earth resounds his tread, clapping his wally neva bled, he'll mak it whistle, and legs and arms and heads will sned like taps o' thristle. Ye powers that mak mankind your care and dish them out their bill o' fare, old Scotland wants nae stinking ware that jouts and luggies, but if you were a great fit player, gear a haggis.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.